What's up? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning starting pitcher podcast brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and today is September 5th. Let's break down every single start from Friday, September 4th. We'll start it off with Christian Javier. And remember when Javier was such a popular Dark Horse Cy Young candidate entering 2023 that he was basically a front runner? That followed a 148 and two-third inning campaign in which Javier posted a 2.54 ERA with a 33% strikeout rate, but it's been all downhill since then. Javier took a huge step back in that highly anticipated campaign with a 4.56 ERA in 162 innings pitched, and he made just seven starts in 2024 before undergoing Tommy John surgery. In 2025, he returned to make eight starts before the season came to a close, but he lasted just three starts this year before succumbing to a grade two shoulder strain. It seemed like the magic had all but faded away, but Javier showed a sparkle in his eye in mid-August when the whiffs started flowing. In his previous three outings, he induced a 20% swinging strike rate, but the results didn't match, returning a 5.84 ERA. There was something in the air on Friday, though, as it all clicked when Javier tossed five innings with one earned, one hit, three walks and eight strikeouts, inducing 19 whiffs with 35% CSW against the Diamondbacks. He looked better than he had in years, sitting 93 to 94 miles per hour with his beautifully shaped four-seamers at 18 inches of vert with 1.3 HAVA at a low 35-degree arm angle, which means that that vert is really playing up. And he slung his signature sweepers, breaking off dastardly changeups, and incorporated a brand new cutter, which has been much needed for his arsenal throughout the years. With fastballs landing upstairs for strikes and whiffs, sweepers landing away from right-handed batters for whiffs or sneaking in the front door to left-handed batters for free real estate, changeups falling below the zone for whiffs to left-handed batters, and cutters propping up the strike rate, he showcased a complete arsenal that is only missing better command for future success. As a result, Javier will have bouts of inconsistency because of that command. He did walk three with a sub 60% overall strike rate in this one after all, but the stuff is undeniable. The whiffs have been flowing like the water at Niagara Falls. So as long as Javier stays efficient by avoiding the free pass and poor fortune, which sort of ruined his success in the last three starts, I think he's going to display some of the best strikeout upside in the majors down the stretch. And I'd be rolling the dice on his success continuing in Philadelphia next. Now let's see how every other starting pitcher did on Friday, September 4th, starting off with Ranger Suarez in Baltimore. Seven shutout innings, five hits, one walk, and three strikeouts. And these are the kind of starts from Suarez that make me both amazed and incredulous about his success. On one hand, he's so great at mixing speeds and locating his pitches to induce weekly hit grounders. And on the other, he struggles to miss bats and is so reliant on the results of batted balls. The results haven't been great since the beginning of July when he kicked off a stretch of nine starts with single digit whiffs, but we're going to keep starting him knowing he'll be better more often than not when he's allowed to throw more than 90 pitches. Next, we have Jared Jones versus the Angels. Six shutout innings, three hits, one walk, and nine strikeouts. 21 whiffs and 43% CSW for Jared Jones. And if this doesn't get you excited about a full season from Jones in 2027, I don't know what to tell you. Jones pulled in Andrés Muñoz and threw his slider more than his fastball to bonkers results and a King Cole as he led baseball with that 43% CSW. The breaker was absolutely unhittable as he kept it downstairs with ease to induce 19 whiffs and 53% CSW with 80% strikes while throwing it half of the time. This is the best that his breaker has looked all year, and it only needs minimal assistance from his upper 90s fastball when it's performing like this. This had a bit of blame it on the Angels written all over it, but I've been enamored with Jones since day one, and while I don't expect his slider to perform like this every night, I do view it as a weapon that'll become sharper the further he gets from surgery. I am pumped for the future of Jared Jones. Next, we have Blake Snell versus the Nationals. Six shutout innings, five hits, two walks, and seven strikeouts. Ace is going to ace for Blake Snell, and even in September, with rain starting to appear across California, hashtag hot Snell summer continues. Next, we have Eric Fetty versus the Twins. Five scoreless innings, three hits, two walks, and 2 strikeouts. And it's always don't trust the feds until he tosses 5 shutout frames. And this might actually make me trust him less. Fetty has induced double-digit whiffs just once in 30 appearances this year. One time has he had 10 or more whiffs in 30 appearances. And he seems like he's running out of good fortune to return any more outings as decent as this one. Fetty sweeper is pretty cool, but a 55% overall strike rate across his entire arsenal suggests that he's not commanding as well as he needs to avoid damage on the rest of his arsenal. So it still stands. Don't trust the feds. Next, we have Shane Boz versus the Red Sox. 6 1/3 innings, 1 earned, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. And just 5 whiffs here with those 6 strikeouts for Boz. And you think that'd be a product of an unsustainably high put-away rate, but Boz's 46% mark was right in line with his year-long 42% mark. And with a 50% 2 strike rate, this was all just perfect timing on his whiffs and a handful of backward strikeouts. That's not really sustainable, but regardless of how he achieves his results, Boz has been solid, if not unspectacular, all year. So we keep starting him. Next, we got Ryan Johnson in Pittsburgh. 6 innings, 1 earned, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. And where has this been all year? Johnson found a couple of extra ticks on his sinker and sweeper, but he barely threw the former, instead relying on his signature cutter to tunnel with the breaker to great effect. Johnson avoided the heart of the zone as the pair of pitches combined for 12 whiffs, 38% CSW, and 78% strikes. Splitters were competitive around the bottom of the zone, but batters weren't tempted to chase them, so this was basically all cutters and sliders. I'd be willing to write this start off as an anomaly if not for the 1.67 ERA Johnson's recorded in 6 starts since the beginning of August. Luckily, for analysis' sake, he's held a 2% strikeout minus walk rate during that time, allowing us to ignore the results given the lack of arsenal improvements and changes combined with the underlying metrics that suggest this is not a guy who's going to pitch to a sub-2 ERA the rest of the way. The cutter-slider combo just isn't very impressive, and his command is not great. Next, we got Shota Imanaga in Miami. 6 innings, 1 earned, 3 hits, no walks, and 4 strikeouts. 22 whiffs for Imanaga. The splitter show was completely sold out as it put on its best performance of the year, inducing 17 whiffs with 79% strikes and 11 outs on 11 balls in play, propelling Imanaga to the gallows pole as he led baseball with those 22 whiffs. It's crazy the degree to which the pitch was able to take over while the rest of his arsenal got dragged along like an owner walking a dog chasing a squirrel. Imanaga may have racked up a lot more punch outs if the splitter could get any support, but we'll take this all day and we'll feel comfortable starting him, knowing that there's an even higher ceiling for him to achieve if he can get more strikeouts with his ability to get whiffs. Next, we have Andrew Sears in Cleveland. 5 2/3 innings, 1 earned, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Sears earned his first career major league start, and he did not disappoint. With elite extension and a little extra velocity, Sears' 4-pitch mix played up, revealing his swatch potential and allowing him to get away with 12 outs on 16 balls in play. With secondaries combining for sub-50% strikes, there's still a way to go for Sears to command his arsenal better, which is going to be the next step in his evolution. I don't think his 4-seamer and sinker are going to be enough to carry him through many more starts like these, unless those off-speed pitches improve dramatically, at least in the strike rate department. Next, we got Max Fried in San Diego. That's his former team, I'm pretty sure. 5 2/3 innings, 1 earned, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. It takes efficiency for a pitcher to complete nearly 6 frames in just 72 pitches, but that's one of Fried's best skills. It's what's made him such a reliable volume producer and what set him apart as an elite Holly. With 80 pitches on the horizon, Fried will be an auto start moving forward, and his ability to be efficient, pitch to contact in a good way while also getting the strikeouts when he needs to is what makes him one of the best pitchers in baseball. Will Warren did pitch in relief of Fried, going 2 1/3 shutout innings with no hits, 1 walk, and no strikeouts, using his throw day to give the bullpen a rest and provide length behind a start that the Yankees expected to be limited. I think Warren will rejoin the rotation in the next turn, unless the Yankees prefer Elmer Rodriguez, and ultimately it'll sort itself out like it has all year. We've always been curious what the Yankees are going to do with Will Warren and Ryan Weathers. Well, we haven't really had to be this whole year, and Warren was so good in his previous start that I think he's just going to be right back in the rotation. Though when we get to the playoffs, I think Warren will be a bullpen weapon for them. Next, we have Jansen Junk versus the Cubs. 5 innings, 1 earned, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. Still no semblance of an approach or intentional locations from this piece. Poor execution, awesome stuff. Junk has great stuff, but he's not really doing anything with it. His arsenal is dope enough to get him through 5 frames of 1-run ball, but the whiffs and strikeouts won't explode until Junk lights the fuse that illuminates a map to a treasure chest filled with game plans. And that might be a bit of a stretch, but I think you get the point. He needs a game plan. He needs an approach. He needs some intentional locations with his stuff if he really wants to unlock the full potential of his awesome arsenal. That's Jansen Junk. Next, we have Andre Pallante in Colorado. 5 innings, 1 earned, 2 hits, 4 walks, and 1 strikeout. Not too bad for Coors, but just like my lips at this elevation, my bread is completely dry. How am I supposed to butter my bread with just 1 strikeout? It was a left-handed batter-heavy lineup, forcing Pallante to rely on his inferior cutter-like four-seamer more than his sinker-slider combo, which is great against right-handed batters, and that's why we have the lack of strikeouts here. And if you're curious about why he had 4 times as many walks as strikeouts, and you understand why he had such few strikeouts, the 4 walks are mostly due to a 37% strike rate on off-speed pitches, putting him behind in counts all game. Pallante will be his regular Toby self with back-to-back starts against the Giants coming up. Next, we've got Walker Buehler versus the Yankees. 5 innings, 1 earned, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. And Buehler's actually been pretty solid across his last 6 starts with a 2.53 ERA and even 1 whip and a 21% strikeout rate. But we're all too familiar with his shtick to be fooled by such illusory surface-level numbers. Buehler's induced single-digit whiffs in all 6 of those starts, and nothing's changed about his 7-pitch kitchen sink approach to get us interested in starting him versus the Nationals next. And we're definitely not touching Walker Buehler in Coors afterward. Next, we have Jameson Taillon in Kansas City. 2 innings, 1 earned, 2 hits, no walks, and 1 strikeout. And Taillon returned from the IL and will head right back to it. He was pulled early and is now set to undergo an MRI on his elbow, which initially held him out of action for the past month. At this point in the year, I think it's safe to say that Taillon's disappointing season is over. Rest up, buddy. Next, we got Chris Sale in Philadelphia. 6 innings, 2 earned, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. Ace is going to ace for Chris Sale. And if not for the Miz, I feel like Sale might be running away with the National League Cy Young Award this year. Fortunately, this is just another feather in the cap of a Hall of Fame career. Next, we have Nolan McLain versus the Giants. 6 innings, 2 earned, 6 hits, 4 walks, and 7 strikeouts. McLain is what Buehler wishes he was, a guy with a deep arsenal, missing the command he needs to maximize it, but making up for that with incredible stuff. McLain is a converted position player, so he's still evolving from thrower to pitcher. And if you're wondering what level that occurs, I think it's like level 36 or something. Let's hope that doesn't take that long because he's only 25. The metamorphosis might be in progress as we speak, though, as the second half has seen McLain almost completely axe his sweeper to focus more on his RAS pack and a supportive slider, leading to a 2.15 ERA in 9 starts. The control still needs some work, though, and that's going to be the next step that takes McLain to that next level, evolves him into a pitcher. Next, we'll talk about Nick Martinez, Christopher Sanchez, Foster Griffin, Merrill Kelly, and the rest of the guys who pitched on Friday. But first, we're going to take a quick break here on the Plus Pitch Podcast. And we're back. Jake Crumpler here, breaking down every single start from Friday, September 4th. We'll resume with Nick Martinez in Texas. He tossed 6 3rd innings, allowing 3 earned with 5 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. The season-long Vargas rule is entering the final month of the season, and it remains intact. It's slowed down as of late, but this start wasn't as borderline as the final line suggests. Martinez entered the 7th with his only blemish being a solo shot. He got the first out in the 7th, but was yanked after putting 2 men on, only to watch in pain from the bench as both inherited runners came around to score on a grand slam. That's a textbook careful Icarus for Nick Martinez. Next, we got Christopher Sanchez versus the Braves. 6 innings, 3 earned, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. And it only took 1 inning to saddle Sanchez with a poor quality start as all 3 runs scored in an inning. And he was outdueled by his division foe, Chris Sale, which could be a precursor for a potential postseason matchup between Sanchez and Sale. Sanchez was not at his best on Friday, unleashing plenty of uncompetitive changeups that sailed too far arm side, leading to a 56% strike rate that wasn't inflated by overwhelming sinkers as they returned sub 60% strikes as well. We won't change our fantasy strategy when it comes to Christopher Sanchez, but we have to come to terms with the fact that he won't be helping us out in the whip department down the stretch. Lastly, we've got Foster Griffin versus the Tigers. 6 innings, 3 earned, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Griffin's been throwing his cutter a little bit harder to make up for the lack of support for the rest of his arsenal, and he went full cutter mode on Friday, bumping its usage to a season high 51% to make up for it. I'm sure Griffin will be receptive of the advice that you just should never go full cutter mode, especially after he turned in a very, very poor quality start with 10 base runners in this poor quality start. Griffin is at his best when his deep 7-pitch arsenal works in concert to keep batters off balance, to set up his cutter, changeup, and sweeper to put batters away. That's not what we've been seeing recently, but he's been getting by regardless because of how good of a pitcher he is, how good he is at mixing things up, and how deep his arsenal is. Next, we've got Merrill Kelly in Houston. 6 innings, 3 earned, 7 hits, no walks, and 4 strikeouts. And usually a hipster is a young guy who is inconsistent from start to start, but Kelly's fallen into that category as it's been difficult to determine in which matchups he will succeed. He's battled his command more often than usual this season, and while his pitch separation was pretty solid in Houston, a poor quality start isn't the result that we're going to want to chase. Flip the coin at your own risk, regardless of the opponent, moving forward for Merrill Kelly. Next, we've got Jackson Kent in LA against the Dodgers. 5 innings, 3 earned, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Kent is priming himself to join the next wave of swatches, but this start wasn't great. However, I'm proud of him for surviving the Dodgers while inducing a decent amount of whiffs, 13 whiffs here for Jackson Kent. It's disappointing to see his changeup field disappear, though, with an unruly 30% strike rate, because he'll need the slow ball cooking if he wants to graduate into Streamer University. Next, we've got Zebby Matthews on the south side of Chicago. 5 innings, 4 earned, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. And there was plenty of discourse, especially on Twitter, about Zebby's streamability here after reeling off 3 straight starts with 1 earned run apiece. I was skeptical, though, given 2 of them were heavily reliant on batted ball luck, and the other, a season-high 23 whiffs, was an outlier in a mediocre campaign. As expected, Matthews struggled to miss bats, and while the luck on balls in play stuck around, Koufax had other plans as a trio of long balls left the yard. I don't think he has the weapons to handle left-handed batters enough to take down the Guardians next. It's 4-seamer, cutter, slider, and that's just always going to do much better against right-handed batters, but Zebby's proven thus far that he can, every once in a while, get it done. Next, we got Ryan Feltner versus the Cardinals. 5 innings, 4 earned, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Cool story, bro. Coors remains undefeated. Next, we got Matt Wilkinson in Queens. 3 innings, 4 earned, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. The tugboat was dodging splash hits all game, and I think he allowed 3 home runs in this one. This was in New York, and I guess there's water there too, so you could still have some splash hits. Regardless, I've never been to New York, but the point is that Wilkinson got beat a few times because he struggled to command his secondaries as they combined for just sub 50% strikes, setting his fastball up to get punished. Wilkinson will need to be more polished to display his swatch potential upside next time. Junior Marte followed, and after I butchered his debut by getting him mixed up with a previous Junior Marte, I think he deserves a proper assessment from me. He went 5 innings, 3 earned, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts in relief of Wilkinson, showcasing an underwhelming 92-mile-per-hour 4-seamer, which was down 1 to 2 ticks from his debut, and a solid 84-mile-per-hour slider. The breaker is dope, but he pretty clearly breaks the Huascar rule. A solid career in the bullpen is far from out of the question for Junior Marte, though. Next, we've got Kumar Rocker versus the Rays. 5 innings, 5 earned, 9 hits, no walks, and 3 strikeouts. And Rocker did everything he could to hide his sinker. He pitched in bulk relief of Trevor Williams and Robbie Allstrom. He threw his slider 9% more often, threw his 4-seamer 12% more often, and he even held it behind his back. But the Rays were still all over it, belting the sinker for 4 hits and a homer. I wish Rocker would throw his cutter more than his sinker, especially against left-handed batters. It makes no sense to be subjecting yourself to damage like that by throwing a already hittable sinker against a bunch of left-handed batters. Next, we have Daniel Lynch the fourth versus the Blue Jays. 5 innings, 5 earned, 7 hits, 1 walk, and no strikeouts. And the way the Royals run their team frustrates me to no end. They draft weird. They refuse to deploy their bullpen in a manner that makes me happy. And their pitching development has been frustratingly slow and inconsistent. After finally finding a role in which Lynch succeeded pitching in high leverage situations, they've transitioned him back to the rotation, and it's going about as well as you'd expect. Lynch has recorded a 6.97 ERA and a 12% strikeout rate in 6 starts, while watching his stuff slowly diminish as he gets further stretched out. There is swatch potential here just because he's a lefty who has a changeup, but that's not going to be the case when he's throwing 93 to 94 miles per hour without a single strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with that? Next, we have Cade Morris in Seattle. 2 2/3 innings, 5 earned, 5 hits, 1 walk, and no strikeouts. And Morris piggybacked with Brady Basso in an A's bullpen game. And if the lack of strikeouts doesn't get you pumped, then you probably won't be excited about his sinker changeup centric approach. If you like jump scares, go look at Morris's stats. Don't say I didn't warn you. Next, we have Logan Allen versus the Tigers. 2 1/3 innings, 5 earned, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 1 strikeouts. And what's with all the piggybacking? Allen combined with Slade Ciccone to cover the first 5 frames of this one. It's difficult to express the lack of emotion this situation inspires within me. At least both Allen and Ciccone were throwing harder in relief. Next, we got Rhett Lauder versus the Brewers. 4 innings, 6 earned, 6 hits, 4 walks and 2 strikeouts. And I told y'all we were done streaming Lauder after he succeeded on the north side of Chicago last time out. And I hope you listened to me and did not stream him. And you should keep that up because we probably are not going to stream him the rest of the year. It's the Dodgers back-to-back up next. Then he hosts the Cubs in Great American Ballpark. Those are not starts I want to be chasing for Rhett Lauder. Next, we got Shane Drohan in Cincinnati. 4 innings, 6 earned, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. And Drohan has become too sinker happy. He's got to get back to throwing his cutter more to neutralize all the right-handed batters he's been dealt. If he can pull off the Cannibal McSanchez plus Blake Snell blueprint combo that we've seen a lot with high four-seamers and cutters mixed with low sliders, curves, and changeups, there's a much clearer path to success than looking for sinkers to earn quick outs on balls in play. Drohan gets a rematch hosting the Reds, and that's a questionable start for me. Our second to last guy is Cater Montero in Cleveland. 4 innings, 6 earned, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. The Guardians always load the lineup with lefties and switch hitters when facing a right-handed starter, so this was the worst time for Montero to lose the feel for his changeup. The slow ball returned just 30% strikes, reducing the effectiveness of the rest of his arsenal. It didn't help that he got singled out in a disastrous fourth frame that saw him serve up his only home run of the game, a grand slam, of course. He should return to being a whip asset, and Montero might be the perfect pairing with Christopher Sanchez because of it when he hosts the Twins before heading to Toronto. Those are some fine starts to look for whip production from Montero. Lastly, we've got Logan Gilbert versus the A's. 4 2/3 innings, 7 earned, 8 hits, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts and 21 whiffs. And Ace is going to do everything right except for keeping the ball in the yard. The whiffs and strikeouts were aplenty, but an absolutely ridiculous third frame in which the A's went deep a whopping 4 times ruined Gilbert's night. This wasn't even in Sacre Verde. It was just a one-night bland. And we have to be happy that Gilbert salvaged it with so many punchouts. That's every single start from Friday, September 4th. If we're looking forward to September 5th, my game of the day is Carlos Rodon versus Robbie Ray. We got 2 former Giants Southpaws squaring off in that one. That should be fun. But that'll do it for this episode of the Plus Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to twopitcherlist.com to check out the companion article for this podcast, the SP Roundup, where I break down every single start in the form of words. And if you're looking for other stuff that we have on Pitcher List, make sure to sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to not only gain access to the Discord, but also to all of the incredible features we have on the site as well as an ad-free website. Make sure to follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. And tune into the Plus Pitch Podcast again tomorrow as we break down every single start from September 5th.